Hey friends, welcome to Girls Night. I'm Stephanie Mae Wilson, and I'm so happy that you're here. Each week, I have a girlfriend over, and we talk through one of the biggest questions we have about our lives as women. We're talking about friendships and faith and relationships and self-confidence, about our calling in life and how to live every bit of our lives to the full. Life is so much better and easier and absolutely more fun when we navigate it together as girlfriends, and I cannot wait to get started. Friends, I am so excited about today's episode. Today, we're talking about how to truly enjoy your single life instead of just enduring it. We're also talking through some of the lies or myths we may have believed about singleness or dating. Things like, my success is way too intimidating, so I need to tone it down. Or, I've been single for this many years, and so I've missed my shot at finding my person. Friends, I'm even more excited because we have a really, really special guest here to talk us through this. Our guest for today's episode is singer, actress, and my new friend, Michelle Williams. Now, many of you guys know Michelle from her days singing in the popular musical group Destiny's Child. Who does not love Destiny's Child? But along with being a super talented singer, Michelle is also an amazing speaker. I had the privilege of hearing her speak and meeting her in person at a conference I attended earlier this year in Atlanta. And after hearing her heart for singleness and dating, I just knew I needed to invite her to be on the show. In this episode, Michelle is sharing her journey as a single woman and the biggest lessons she's learned in her dating life. She's also teaching us how to be confident in who we are and not let anyone dim our light. She's teaching us how to cherish our time as a single person, how to stop feeling quite so lonely in our singleness, how to figure out the type of partner we need, how to stop settling, and so much more. I cannot wait for you to hear from her. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Friends, springtime is finally here, but that also means allergy season is in full swing. I have always struggled with allergies, and I don't know about you, but I am especially allergic to cats. More on that in a second. Well, luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. The time that I use Claritin the absolute most is when I'm at my parents' house, my childhood home. They have this absolutely beautiful cat that they love and I like, except for the fact that he sheds so much. So that means that I'm basically sneezing from the second I arrive home to the second I leave, unless I take Claritin. My dad has even started having it ready for me right when I walk in the door. Are you ready to live life as though you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Claritin, thank you so much for sponsoring our girls' night. We love having you. All right, friends, I am just like over the moon about who you get to meet today. I'm sitting here with my new friend, Michelle Williams. Michelle, thank you so much for coming to Girls Night.
Of course. Thank you for having me, Stephanie.
This is so fun. Okay, so for women who haven't gotten to meet you yet, they're in for a treat. Tell us who you are, what you do, and I feel like this could be a great fun fact. So tell us a fun fact about yourself.
A fun fact about myself. Michelle is not my first name.
What is your, can you tell, I mean.
Michelle is my middle name, so it is a part of me.
I love that. I love that.
So people will probably go on a Google hunt to see what my first name is.
Is it like a secret?
No, it's Tanitra. Tanitra is my first name.
I love that.
Yeah.
Tell us what you do. Tell us who you are and what you do.
All right. So my name is Michelle Williams, singer, author, and actress.
I love it. I love it. We got to meet in Atlanta not that long ago, which is where you're based, right?
Yes, based in Atlanta. You and I, we met at Kate Tomlin's Heart of Dating Conference where, you know, I'm still on cloud nine because of that experience. So it was good to meet you there.
Same. It was so awesome. I loved getting to hear you speak. And as I'm sitting there, I mean, I'm like cheering. Everyone's like amening all over the place to everything that you're talking about. And as I'm sitting there, I'm like, all right, we got to see if she'll come on Girls Night. So I'm super, super glad to have you here. And because we met at the Heart of Dating Conference, everything, all of my questions today are all about singleness and dating because I loved your perspective.
Okay.
So I'm just going to like pick your brain like crazy.
All right.
Is that okay?
Let's go.
Well, okay. So to start out with, as much as you feel comfortable sharing, can you tell us what your like single and dating life has, what your story has been?
Okay. I have dated all of my legal life, you know, and I chose to be quiet about those experiences, especially if I'm like, well, it doesn't seem like there's a future here. So what's there to talk about? My friends knew I was dating, but it's just not something that, you know, I wanted to keep that part of my life private. And then I publicly went public with the relationship and we got engaged. And I should have kept that private. Because when you're building your relationship, you should not build it in public. You should build that thing to where it's so strong privately first. Build that foundation before you go public. Now, that's my preference because I've had the experience of both, right? Yeah. And so that engagement was public. The disintegration of it was public because I feel like we made it public. You might as well make the breakup public too, you know, to a degree where people see you, not that you owe anybody anything, but you might as well just, okay, we're not together, right? That's what happened. So I will never do that again, ever. I will never publicly just put my relationship out there. I want people to like see me with a stroller and they be like, wait a minute, she got a ring on, is she married? That's how you'll know.
That's how you'll know.
Personally.
Yeah. What has, you know, I know that over the years you've been like a real encouragement to women as they're single and dating themselves. What is it about this season of life that has made you like want to walk with other people through it?
Well, because I feel like there are so many relationship gurus out there, relationship coaches, life coaches, and a lot of the relationship coaches, I don't want to generalize. Some, which could seem like a lot, tell you about the great side of the relationship or just make sure you're healing. But I don't think that a person has to have had perfect relationships to walk someone through a relationship situation. I would love to tell people what not to do or what to look out for because this can happen based off of my experience, right? So that's just why I want to walk with people. And the main thing to walk people through is their healing journey while you're single. Do I feel like you will be 100% whole going into a relationship? No. And a lot of people shy away from being in a relationship because remember the saying, I'll come to church when I'm saved already. I'm too dirty to come to church. I'll come to church when I've, you know, got some things straightened out in my life. And a lot of people feel that way about relationships. Well, I've got to get myself all the way together. I got to get myself together. Some of that is true. But prayerfully, God sends you somebody where that healing can be a journey where both of you are individually doing the work and collectively doing the work. And I feel that the relationship can work when both are committed to their healing.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
What is one of the things, you know, there are two pieces to this singleness and dating thing. There's the singleness part and the kind of like loneliness piece or the kind of desert piece or the watching other people be in relationships. And then there's the dating piece of it, which I think when you're in, when you're super duper single, it feels like dating is going to be a reprieve from some of the confusion. But dating in itself is so confusing, like on its own. And so I want to kind of split them up if we can for a second. And I would love to hear just what are some of the things or like some of your biggest, most helpful lessons you've learned during singleness specifically?
You have to intentionally, because you are single, you have to intentionally do things. Travel by yourself. Go out to eat by yourself. Shop by yourself. Go to the movies by yourself. To where now it's to the point where I'm like, I'm okay with a relationship or without a relationship because I've invested so much in myself personally. I love me. I love being by myself. Maybe it's because part of me is more introvert than even I want to believe. But there's so much peace that I have. And the person that's in my life, you almost got to bring that same energy as it relates to peace or be greater, you know, than the peace that I already have. Please don't bring drama, confusion, any of that, because I will choose me if that happens. So that's what I would encourage singles to do is get to the point where that relationship is an addition, that it does not subtract and take away from your walk with God, the peace and the healing that you've been doing. Make sure that it's an addition of joy. It's an addition of love. It's an addition of peace. It's an addition of, wow, we can really rock this world together.
I love that. I think that for me, there were times when I was single or I feel like times when I just like haven't been doing well, that I being by myself is scary. And so I'll reach for all kinds of things or people or noise or chaos in order to not be with myself.
Oh my gosh, but I shop. I hit the add to cart. And if Facebook and Instagram, they keep listening to what we say. And if I say, like right now, high-waisted jeans, the most amazing high-waisted jeans are going to come across our feet and I'm going to buy them. I'm going to tap add to cart.
Yep. It's so easy to fill your life with so many things. And like, whether that's, you know, relationships, whether that's, and I think that when we are feeling particularly chaotic inside or empty, it's easy to fill ourselves with things that just aren't actually going to add much, like you were talking about. But it was such a turning point for me to be able to just be with myself and see my relationship with myself as something to invest in and something to cherish and something to make time for. And I love the way that you said that, like your peace, your doing all these things by yourself, like what you have going is really good. The relationship you have with yourself is really good. And so if someone else is going to be involved, they need to either like be as good or better than what you already have going on.
They've got to bring it.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Well, okay. So what about dating? Dating, putting yourself out there, you know, the like opening yourself up to rejection, knowing if someone's right for you. Like, what are some of the things that you're like, if I could go back and give myself a piece of advice about dating, like this is what I wish I knew sooner.
What I wish I knew sooner about dating. I feel like I'm made to only date one person at a time. But there are some people who are like, oh no, you should be seeing more than one person. And a part of me is like, do I regret not seeing more than one person at a time? Not sleeping with, but like letting somebody take you out or just hanging out.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think any harm is in that, you know. Because shucks, the men are.
I mean, you don't know. Yeah, being clear about like, is this exclusive or is it not? And I think, you know, when you are dating a few or when you are like, you know, talking to a few different people, it takes some of the pressure off. And that alleviation of pressure can be a good thing.
Yeah, right? It takes pressure off, I think, if you're clear, like you said, hey, if it comes up and it's appropriate, you're not the only person I'm talking to. I mean, you don't have to be like, I'm talking to so-and-so and I'm going to take them to so-and-so at 7 p.m. tomorrow. But first of all, unless you've had the conversation of exclusivity, you shouldn't think you're exclusive to anybody anyway. I think that's a conversation to be had. Yeah. You know, I'm old school. I want the will you be my girlfriend, yes or no question. I do.
Same.
I want to be clear. Let's be clear.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think something that we can do is, and I always erred on the side of exclusivity where I would like really like someone and feel like I would place a reserved sign on my entire heart for this person, whether or not they'd asked me to do that.
Mm-hmm,
and so I would find myself like more invested than I should have been. And so I would get more hurt than I would have had to, I guess, if I would have like slowed down a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that.
Are there any other, like, just as you've been dating and as you've been talking to people about their relationships, are there any other like dating words of wisdom that you find yourself passing out a lot?
Therapy. Please go to therapy. Making sure that, because it's not your fault when pain and trauma was inflicted on you, but I think you are responsible to not project that same pain and trauma onto others, right? If you find yourself in a relationship and you're anxious, or that other person says, hey, like, because sometimes pain and trauma always makes you question your place in someone's life. Are we okay? Are we okay? Are we good? Are we good? And I feel like something happened along the way that's making you very insecure. And instead of you knowing that you're worthy of that love, I'm speaking from experience, instead of me knowing that I was worthy of that love and wanting to make sure I am what this person truly wants, I was so insecure. You know, but it took a lot of therapy and going back to those wounds from childhood to figure all that out. So that's first and foremost. No, you don't have to go to therapy to talk about depression, anxiety, abuse, and blah, blah, blah. You can, but what will happen is they will always go back to something that happened in childhood, because childhood forms the way we respond today as an adult. Now, there are some adults who had a blissful childhood. They had all the love. Their parents were amazing to them, so they know how to communicate and they're fine. That's okay. But it's a possibility you might get into a relationship with someone who's still working on some things. So that's first and foremost. I would say get into some therapy, you know, talk some things through. Be prayerful. Do not ignore red flags. As they say, red flags begin to look like six flags when you're really into a person, when you're desperate. When you're so desperate for love, you overlook some things that possibly will not change in marriage. Why should I change in marriage when you seemed okay with me when we were just dating or engaged? So that person's not going to change in marriage unless God comes in and does a miracle. So I would say, do not overlook things and ask questions. Say, and don't ask questions from an accusatory standpoint. Hey, I'm just curious, from my point of view, when you say this or when you do this, it makes me feel, you know, just things like that, that I'm learning along the way. Even something I had to do this morning. I asked this person, when we talk about this, how do you want me to respond? Because I'm seemingly taking things personally.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And then it was like God gave me the revelation of why I'm taking things personally.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. That's something that, so this is like, both my parents are psychologists, which is kind of it sounds like a weird way to grow up. It was a pretty normal way to grow up.
Both your parents are psychologists?
Both my parents are psychologists. I know, isn't that nuts? But one of the things that they always talked about was using I statements. And so instead of coming into something and say, well, you said this and you said this and you said this, that immediately puts someone on the defensive. Whereas if you can say, you know what, I'm feeling a little bit defensive, or my feelings are a little bit hurt and I'm trying to figure out, would you mind telling me, like, am I reading this in the right way?
That's
as long as you can, as long as you can talk about yourself, like you are owning what is yours, you are protecting what is yours, you are clarifying what is yours, and you're not attacking the other person. And so it just gives the other person a chance to respond better.
Absolutely.
And it's amazing.
Absolutely. I agree with you on that, Stephanie B. But a lot of times we don't say, hey, I'm feeling this way, because it makes us, we're projecting our insecurity. I wonder if they're going to think I'm weak or being dramatic or too sensitive if I say I feel. But you are so right. When you say you always do this, instead of saying that, I seem to be hearing you say this. Am I hearing you right? So what I'm hearing you say is, and then it gives them a chance to be like, no, you took that the wrong way. This is what I was, you know. But it depends, because that could be in a back and forth. No, because what I heard you say, no, babe, I promise you, this is what I meant. No, because this is what... So you, it's... and I'll say this, sometimes you got to be willing to just be quiet. So say you were having that exchange. Honey, if I'm hearing you right, it seems like you were saying this. And they say, no, that's incorrect. I was saying this. No, you said... When you find yourself about to do that, just hush and be like, sometimes it's easier to also be like, you know what? You're right.
Okay. Yep.
You can't win everything, especially when there are two strong-minded people, you know, especially two people who read a lot, who know a bunch of facts and information going back. You're like, listen, how about both of us are right? Both of us are correct here.
Yep.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. As many of you know, I recently wrote a book, and while it was the most rewarding project of my career so far, it also came with a lot of hard work and long nights. And sometimes when things started to feel a little bit overwhelming, I needed to get a few things off my chest so I could clear my mind and keep the writing process flowing. And the thing that helped me so much to sort through those feelings was therapy. Now tell me if any of this sounds familiar. Maybe you're going through something really hard right now, a big loss or a gigantic life transition. Maybe you frequently feel anxious, depressed, overwhelmed, or just generally discouraged. Maybe you really, really, really want your life circumstances to change, but you don't know how to actually change them. Or maybe you're feeling stuck as you try to work through your past, navigate your present, or figure out your future. Friend, if you can relate to any of this, you're not alone. I've been there, and therapy has been the thing that has helped me more than anything else with all of this. In the last 10 years or so, I've learned that strength isn't proving I can do it on my own. It's knowing that I don't have to. I'm at my strongest when I have a full support system around me, and an essential part of my support system is therapy. Therapy can be absolutely life-changing, that is, if you can afford it and find a therapist you like and trust. But of course, this is easier said than done, and that's why I'm so excited to be partnering with this week's podcast sponsor. Our sponsor for today's episode is BetterHelp. BetterHelp is the easiest and most affordable way I've ever found to find a great therapist. It's entirely online and super easy to sign up. You can get started right away, and if you don't love the counselor you're paired with, switching is easy and it's free. If you're going through something hard in your relationships, or if you're in a funk you just can't shake, if you've been feeling anxious or depressed lately, or if you're feeling stressed and you need help balancing your everyday life and schedule, BetterHelp is an incredible resource for you. And I'm so thankful that they've given me a promo code that I can share with you to make it even easier to get started. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/friendship today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/friendship.
I I really like what you said about weakness, though, because like that's something that I totally, you know, that's always been a fear in the back of my mind is, oh, is this person going to think I'm weak or dramatic or high maintenance or whatever? And, but the thing is that like having feelings and speaking that way, like isn't weaker than saying, no, you said this. Like that may sound stronger in the moment, but if you actually step back, there's actually so much strength in not yelling back or owning what is yours or speaking intentionally in a way to where the other person is going to be able to like it's just, it's way more intentional. It's way more effective to speak this way, even if you're saying things like, I feel hurt.
Absolutely.
So it's just not weak.
There's so much strength in surrendering the desire or need to be right.
Yeah.
There's so much strength. Hey, guess what? You might be right. You might be looking at the answer right now on Google. You might. Let them have it. Let them have that win. Let them have it.
Yep.
It's not worth dissension and distance in the relationship that causes.
Yeah. 100%. 100%. I love that. One of the things that I hear the most and felt the most when we're talking about singleness and dating, when our love lives aren't turning out the way that we want them to, and that can look a lot of different ways. I think that one of the fastest, the person we immediately blame, I think, is ourselves. We feel like this is not working out because something's wrong with me or you know, no one, like it's because there's something wrong with me.
Mm.
Have you experienced that? And like, how do we find truth there? Is it all our fault?
No, some stuff is not, you know, all of your fault. I'm telling you, the root of a lot of that is insecurity. And what's the root of insecurity? Betrayal, disappointment. Over and over and over again. Maybe you were even bullied and talked about in a certain area. So you just walk around questioning everything about yourself. Or when they say you didn't get love as a child, when you do not get those proper emotional needs met, you're walking around so empty as it is. You don't have it to give, nor do you trust. And if you're the people who supposedly love you didn't give you that, you're walking around wondering, well, if mama and dad didn't give it to me, I'm so not worthy of anybody else to give it to me. You don't even give it to yourself because you don't think you're worthy of it. And you project that. Or you'll go into relationships with the desire for that love cup to be filled. And sometimes you're almost in a place where so much healing has to take place, where God does so much work in you. Now it's going to be His job to fill you up with all those needs that you need met. Let God fill you up. That way, when He's filling you up, you are giving that other person His love. Not the world's way of love, not what you saw growing up that might have been contaminated and toxic. When God fills you up, what comes out of you will be so healthy and loving, you know?
I love that.
I'm working on that love to contain as much of the fruit of the Spirit as possible.
Yeah. I love that. What are some of the things that you like, when you are feeling like unwanted, I guess, what are some of the things that we can tell ourselves in moments like that? I think that the message so easily goes from, you know, so-and-so didn't call me back, or so-and-so didn't want to go on a second date, or so-and-so broke up with me. And we're like, it's my fault. It's because I'm not worthy. It's because I'm unlovable.
Oh, what are rejection? Like, rejection sucks. Rejection will have you thinking all kinds of things about yourself. Rejection will have you doing stuff to your body, your face. Well, maybe, because see, what happens is, say they broke up with you and then they go date somebody else. And you're like, well, maybe that's what they really wanted. So let me go look like what they have, right? Rejection can tell you a bunch of lies. Other than rejection needing to be protection, rejection being redirection. I was rejected, but I know because I'm doing the work on me, God's going to bring someone to me who's what I need. You know, have you ever looked back at someone you were dating and then 10 years later you see them and you're like, thank you, Jesus. I'm so thankful they cheated on me, rejection. I'm so thankful that they went in another direction. God, I thank you for them rejecting me. Oh my gosh, they look terrible now. You know, or they're not able to provide. You know, oh my God, things happen. I understand things happen to people and, you know, I'm not saying look for someone rich, but you want somebody that can, you know, pull their own weight to the table, right? So you look back at some people you dated and I'm like, God, I'm so thankful that it didn't work out. I know I didn't feel that way in the moment, but I'm like, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, no one wants to hear a cliche when you've been rejected. And rejection is going to be a part of life. I work in a business where you are constantly rejected. I'm pitching a show as we speak to tons of networks. There will be networks who are going to say, this is amazing, but it's not what we're looking for right now. That's still a form of rejection. Yeah. I can't go and be like, man, what I have sucks. No, it's just not what they want. And we can't be mad that someone has a preference.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you keep, like, and I guess this is, like, we could talk about this professionally mm-hmm. because I think it's the same, like the same muscle, but how do you keep going? Like, because what if the fear is, you know, this network goes, love what you have, not for us. Like, how do you keep going and push mm-hmm. past that like little fear that goes, like, no one's going to say yes?
I'm reminded of things that I really, really, really wanted and auditioned for. The project came out and it didn't do good. Or scandal happened on it. And I'm like, God, you were protecting me from this. You were protecting me from my name being attached to something that's not successful. So I look at it as that. But it makes me say, keep working. It makes me also maybe check my entitlement. Did I feel entitled to this? You always check that too. Check the heart. You know, there was something that I really wanted and I really boohoo. I think I literally cried once at not getting this particular opportunity. And I'm thankful. I'm like, because it was so much mess that happened afterwards that I'm like, God, I see. He looks out for me. Now, I don't know about you, but God looks out for me.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah. So, you know, hearing no, it's horrible, you know, because you work so hard at something. You know, I heard Tyler Perry also say, and he walks what he talks. You know, when people don't invite you to their table, build your own. Build your own. And either they'll invite themselves to your table, or you'll be able to invite them to yours. Hey, yes, even you that rejected me, I got a seat for you at my table.
Yeah. Yeah.
The table that through God helped me, you know, he will prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. And that's what the word says.
Yeah. One of the things that I've seen over and over again for a long time now is that there are resources and podcasts and books and stuff for women who are single, like in their early 20s. But as we get older, it's like the resources sort of drop off. Mm-hmm. Or people say things like, you know, here's something that's helpful. And you're like, ah, that would have been helpful for me mm-hmm. 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's different now. What are some of the things that you've seen, like through the conversations you have and through the work that you've done, what are some of the things that you see like change about singleness and dating when you're in your early 20s to like when you're older than that?
Maybe I'm paying attention more because I'll be 44 this year, but I'm loving seeing people get married for the first time in their 40s, even having children for the first time in their 40s. So don't let anybody tell you, oh, you're past the age of 25. Good luck for you. No. People have focused on their careers. You know, because, you know, there was a time we grew up where as soon as you go to college, you're supposed to get married and have kids. I just knew at the age of 25, I was going to be married. By 27, I was going to have my first child. It didn't work out that way. And I'm okay. Because there are marriages that you see online and they don't even like each other in real life. Why are we envying? And I don't mean filtered relationships because of a actual filter, but it's filtered. I know maybe a handful of couples that are really about it in real life. They love each other. They respect each other. They've come through a lot of things. I told someone yesterday, happy anniversary. You are a relationship goal. I can't say that about a lot of people. You know? So, there's so many things that I've learned about relationships because I know what it's like to be the only person at the wedding that's showing up single. I know what it's like where, you know, I used to feel so ashamed because like Beyonce and Kelly are married and they have children. I used to feel like, man, I don't bring that to the table, you know, and I haven't felt that way in a long time. And I think because I've been so invested and doing my work and just being happy by myself.
Yeah. I love asking this question this way because I just love what people have to say. But like when you're looking at people in your life and you're thinking they're married, they have kids, like, and you're feeling all the feelings that come with that. Like what, if you could go back and whisper your like something to yourself when you were having the hardest time in one of those moments, what would you say?
At the time I would have asked myself, do you really want it? We think we want marriage. We think we want children. I would have to say, did you really want it at the time when, to me, it was just the enemy in my ear saying, look at them and look at you, right?
Yeah.
And when I look back, it's like, did I really want it? Right? And so you have to be okay. There are some people who don't want to be married. There are some people who do not want children. And that's okay too. You can show up at the parties. You can show up at the holidays at peace, just like people who are in a relationship. And be, I promise you, and be okay. There is still a place for you in society, single and childless. It is okay. Do not let anybody pressure you into big, lifelong commitments like that. Not even yourself, because you will settle. And don't do that.
I have so many goosebumps right now. I love it so much. I love it so much.
Wait until you know that you know that you know. And it's not even, somebody brought something to my attention and I stopped asking, could I marry this person? Now I say, can I do life with this person? You can marry anybody. The wedding's going to be amazing. Can you do life? Think about that. Are you cringing at the fact of life with them now? Because if you are, you will cringe at doing life with them later. It doesn't make them a bad person. Maybe you're better off as friends and to guide them into who they're really supposed to be with. It's okay. I promise you.
It's so good.
How many people have we seen that you know for you, that you know they settle and they're miserable? Why do you want that? Because you're tired of going to grandma's house at Christmas time alone? Man, I love waking up in the morning and it's peaceful. I do. I promise you.
Yeah. I love that. Something about when you said settled that last time, like, do you want to settle? I think that we have this idea that of like what a person to settle for is. It's like, oh, they have this job or they're annoying like this or they look like that, whatever. Settling for all of us is different. And it could be someone with a great job who's the handsomest person ever, who has a great personality, blah, blah, blah. They're just, we're not looking for the perfect person. We're looking for a person that really fits us.
Yes.
And there are people that you could, that would look great on paper, but that wouldn't be a good fit for you. And I think you know that when you're dating someone and you know that something is just off, like you were talking about with red flags, like you kind of know. And so even if they look great on paper, if you can't see yourself partnering with this person through all of the stuff that life brings, the ups and the downs, the craziness, the ups and downs in the middles, just the normal kind of day-to-day things, if you can't picture really partnering with this person in life, even if they look great on paper, don't do it.
Stephanie, that's so good. Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, there are certain decisions that I make, Stephanie, that are no-brainers. I have instant peace about it. And then there are some decisions where it takes a minute, you know, through some prayer and some, you know, like it's a no-brainer. I know where I go get my gas. I have two places, my favorites to go. That's where I go get gas.
Yep.
Right? There are some moments you're like, man, I don't see my two favorite places where I go get gas at. You don't want to equate gas and partnership of life. But there are certain, basically what I'm trying to say, there are certain things where this is a non-negotiable for me. These are certain things. And then there are certain things you're like, okay, I see them committed in this area and they're growing and they're persistent and consistent. And you're seeing some changes emotionally, spiritually, maybe visibly, then that's workable. But if they're just stubborn and they're making you feel like you're the problem, you need to go get help, and because they will be like that in marriage. And when you really, really need them to stick with you through something difficult, you'll be by yourself.
I heard someone say one time that the only thing worse than being single and wanting to be married is being married and wanting to be single.
Ooh. Being married and still alone.
Yep.
So
I have a feeling that you have something to like say about this. So tell me if I'm right. One of the things that I think can happen when we're single is that we really, really, really want a relationship, but we're not necessarily like putting one foot in front of the other in order to make that even a possibility. Like we're not necessarily doing our part.
Yeah. You gotta do your part. Do your part. Like I said, whether it's being cute when you go to the grocery store or going to an event and you put a little extra effort in. I like staying home. I love staying home, but they are really correct. Like your husband is not going to knock on your door at home. Your wife is not going to show up at home unless you get a lot of deliveries. And that person that's delivering has happened to be single and you strike up conversation. I don't know. But you gotta go out. Or if you know you've been doing the work and you can trust some friends, ask them, hey, to set you up on some dates. That's okay. Yeah. You know, yeah. If you know, hey, singleness, some people know singleness is not for me. I know that. I've even heard people say there are certain levels in life that they believe like they can only, that will only be unlocked if it's through partnership, through marriage with someone, you know? And that's okay. Yeah. That's okay too. I want you to go for what you believe. I want you to go for what you think God has for you. And if you believe marriage is one of them, a healthy relationship with one, healthy relationships, business, personally, friend, just as friend, that should be a goal. Health, let's get to healthy. Is this a healthy relationship? Do I trust you? Are you a safe person? Am I a safe person for myself and for you? You know? So I would say, I would encourage people, you know, go to church on Easter. Everybody that don't go to church throughout the year, they're going to be there on Easter. Mother's Day, Christmas. Go to church on the holidays. Go to the mall around the holidays. Everybody's at the mall. So put yourself out there. You know, put on some earrings. You know, men, get your hair cut. Shape up a little bit. It's okay. It's okay.
I love that. This is such a like random story, but I think about it all the time. I was walking around a park that I love in Nashville a couple years ago, and I was looking at the plants growing on the side of the path. And I started thinking about gardening, and I don't have a garden. I'm not a gardener, and I have like a totally black thumb. But I was like, the only thing I know about gardening is that if you want something to grow, you need to plant it. And the thing you want to grow, that's the kind of seed you need to put in the ground.
Yes.
And I just started thinking about that. And I'm like, am I doing that with like my friendships? If I want to have more friendships, I need to be planting friendship seeds and I need to be tending to them and wait a little bit. But that's the same for everything else. Like, what am I putting into the ground and what am I expecting to come out of it? And do those things match? And I've thought about that ever since. But if we want to be in relationships, we need to be putting the things in that are going to grow a relationship, and that's meeting people.
Yeah. You know, I worry sometimes because even I'm guilty of, you know, we can, you know, where you don't have to talk to your friends every day, and before you know it, a week goes by and 2 weeks go by, then 3 weeks goes by, right? So you have to be, you know, intentional about sending that text, or if you can travel, say, hey, we're going to meet up in August for a girls' trip. You know, because friendship is so vital. It's so important. So I don't know what has happened where we've gotten really, really busy and preoccupied, or we're putting so much on our plate. Everything is me, 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 me. And we don't, you know, invest in our outside relationships.
Yeah. Yeah. But we need to.
We do need to. We need to. You're right.
Yeah. Is there any last thing that you want our listeners to hear or to know or to do?
You can come through anything. You can come through anything. I am a living testimony, you know, being hospitalized, you know, I voluntarily checked myself into a treatment facility for depression. And, you know, looking at going on almost 5 years later, the growth, the healing, overcoming, you know, so much in my life, you know, even since 2013, I look back and I'm like, would I do it over again? You know, but I'm thankful. And I just want to encourage people. I promise you, it does get better. Plant the seeds for yourself too. The relationship you want with yourself, the relationship that you want with others, and the relationship you want with God. It is an investment and even some sacrifice, but I promise you, you can overcome.
Thanks so much for coming.
Thank you for having me. I'd love to come back anytime. Anytime you think of me, I'll be there.
Perfect. Perfect. Thanks, Michelle.
You're welcome.
You guys, isn't Michelle amazing? I just love her and I love this conversation, and I'm so happy I got to share it with you.
One thing I wanted to mention quickly is I know we talked about a lot in today's episode. And so if you want to find the links for any of those things, all you have to do is go to my website. It's girlsnightpodcast.com. And for every episode, we have a blog post with the show notes. All the links will be there for everything we talk about, including all of Michelle's contact info so you guys can follow her and so y'all can be friends. The other thing I wanted to mention is that if you haven't had a chance yet, it would mean so much to me if you would take just a second to leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. We've gotten so many amazing 5-star reviews from y'all, and you've left the sweetest comments. I cannot tell you how much it means to me, and it also helps out the podcast more than you can imagine. So if you haven't yet, please take just one quick second to leave us a rating and a review. Thanks so much. All right, friends, that's all we have for today, but we'll be back next week with another episode of Girls Night. And trust me, you are going to love this next one. I'll see you then.